Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life. I'm Heather Quick with the Women Winning Divorce podcast. Today, we're diving into a modern issue that's showing up more and more in divorce cases, social media, and specifically the growing use of a no socials clause in marital settlement agreements. So social media posts, even something as simple as venting, can quickly become evidence in court and impact divorce or post-divorce proceedings. So how are courts currently using social media content in divorce cases? And what risk do individuals take when posting during or after litigation? Of course, you know, our favorite answer, it depends. And when it's relevant, I think two main areas that a lawyer trying to use this against the other party can make. It's one, damaging their reputation, which then is potentially damaging their ability to earn, right? So if they're a public figure or they own a business where their reputation does matter. And or two, it is not in the best interest of the children because the children have access to this. They are seeing this. And if you are disparaging the other parent, courts will weigh down heavily on you. And I would say that one is the biggest one with teeth, because if the children potentially have access to this and it is not in their best interest, it looks like you're disparaging the other party, the judge is going to come down pretty hard on you. Therefore, attorneys are now increasingly including no socials clauses in settlement agreements to limit what parties can share online. So it's similar to a non-disclosure agreement, and there are several things and ways this can be used. Now, in the context of the middle of the divorce, if the other party is posting things, you ought to try to document that as quickly as possible so that their attorney then will tell them to take it down. I think it may not happen during the divorce as much. Depends how heavily litigated it is. And, you know, if one of the other parties is doing something very harmful, then you will have a hearing on it during the divorce. But after the divorce, it can really address several things. And I think that is where it can come into play, and it can make sense to protect, you know, both parties from future litigation by, you know, being very specific about what you can and cannot post in relation to the divorce. And I would say also in regards to the children. You know, these clauses don't just limit direct posting. They can restrict reposting, tagging, or encouraging others to post on your behalf. All right, so it's going to be really hard to prove. Let's just be clear about that. But you can put everybody on notice because maybe that's happened before. Usually these kind of things, when they come into play in, you know, when you're trying to mediate and settle things, something has happened to put you on notice or makes you have concerns that this is something that's going to happen. And of course, one of the biggest focuses of these clauses is protecting children from being exposed online during contentious divorces. And, you know, I think that this is something that should be discussed and agreed upon as to who can post pictures of our kids. Is your account private? All right. And what does that mean? Is your account public? And then that opens a whole Pandora's box of really what people can see and know and about the location, personal information. So these are complex discussions and things that, you know, should be discussed, not only what the parents are posting and relaying around their children, whether or not you're going to allow the new girlfriend to post things with your children. That's going to be a little bit harder to enforce, but I think it's really important to discuss and try to agree to if possible. You know, there's no federal law, no state law in Florida that automatically restricts social media use during divorce. This is only going to come from agreements and court orders. But it's really smart to proactively address social media use in a settlement agreement. The court's not going to address it until something happens, right? And then the damage has already been done, and it takes a lot of time to get in and litigate. And is that remedy you seek, when is the court going to do it? And is it going to be satisfying enough to you that they've limited that after the fact? So good reasons to consider these in your mediated settlement agreement. I hope this gives you a better understanding of how something as everyday as social media can have serious legal consequences during divorce, and how a well-drafted agreement can help protect you and your children. For more practical strategies on navigating divorce in today's digital world, Be sure to check out our other episodes. Thank you for listening.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.